Ephesians chapter 2, we've been looking at verses 15 through 23, and this is Paul's prayer for the Ephesian believers, and tonight we're going to start digging into those actual requests that we see here. We'll look at the first two of the four, but we'll start reading in verse 15, and we'll read to verse 23. Ephesians 1, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Let's pray, and we'll get into these requests. Heavenly Father, we are again thankful for this time that we have to gather as your people to open your word and to try to learn more from it. We're thankful for the life of the Apostle Paul. What a great man of prayer that he was. Help us now as we look at his prayer for the Ephesians. As we noted last week, his focus was on the spiritual wellness of his brothers and sisters. Help us not to just be praying physically for our brothers and sisters, but also spiritually. And then, Lord, help us to understand what those spiritual things we are to be praying for. Help us to understand tonight more about what Paul was praying about. May that be our prayer. May it be our prayer for each other. And Lord, would you help us in our understanding of these things? We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, we saw four things in these verses that Paul prayed for. Again, tonight we're going to look at just the first two. The first thing that we see that Paul prayed for when it came to these Ephesian believers is found there in verse 17, and then just the first part of verse number 18. So let's look at that again. Paul says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, here's what he prayed for, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and then we have that semicolon there, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So lots of words there. What is Paul praying for, though? And I'll put it in simple terms, and then we'll look at this. He's praying that these believers would come to know God in a deeper way. Notice again, give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation into what? In the knowledge of him. And that is possible now that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So in one sense, if you're a believer, you know God. But in another sense, there are different levels of knowledge in knowing God. For example, when I married my wife, if you would have asked me, do you know your wife? I would have said yes. When I walked down that aisle and made those vows, I would not have made those vows unless I knew my wife. But 15 years later, I have a deeper knowledge of my wife today than I had 15 years ago. What's the difference? I had a knowledge, but I have grown deeper in that knowledge of my wife. It is much more personal. It is much more intimate. Yes, I had knowledge, but now I have a deeper, more intimate, more personal knowledge. And this is what I believe Paul is praying for with these believers. So you know Jesus Christ. You put your faith and trust in him. Good. But I'm praying that you would have a spirit of revelation and wisdom in the knowledge of Him. I want you to know more about Jesus Christ. I want you to know more about God, your Heavenly Father. At salvation, their eyes had been enlightened. They knew God in a sense, but Paul says, don't stop there with that beginning surface level knowledge of God. I'm praying that you would grow deeper in your knowledge of God. Go with me, if you will, to Philippians chapter 3. This was Paul's great desire. I would assume we would agree that Paul knew God much more than we did. He was a man very close to God, a man receiving revelation from God. But notice what Paul says here in Philippians chapter 3. Paul says, that I may know him, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. You know what Paul's great desire was? To know more. Not just to be satisfied with what he knew. To know more about Jesus Christ. To know more about his Father in heaven. I think most of us Christians have settled for a shallow, superficial knowledge of God. We're saved. We know God. But it's pretty shallow. Our relationship with God is not growing deeper as the years go by. If your relationship with your spouse doesn't increase as the years go by, it will decrease. It's just what happens. If your relationship with God is not growing deeper and deeper and deeper, then it is waning. And Paul says, my desire is to know him. If ever a man knew God, Paul said, I know God, but he said, no, I'm still striving to know him. It was his heart's desire to know God in an intimate, personal way. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. This is the Apostle Peter. He concludes his letter here. What was Peter's desire for his brothers and sisters in Christ? 2 Peter 3, verse 18. 2 Peter 3, 18. Peter says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know what a good prayer would be for yourself every day? Lord, would you help me to grow in my knowledge of you? You know what would be a good prayer for your brothers and sisters in Christ? Would you help them to grow in their knowledge of you? Our goal, our prayer as believers, as we see the Apostle Paul and as we see the Apostle Peter, is to pray for ourselves and each other to grow in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, to know God in a deep, personal, intimate way. Before we leave this point, go back to Ephesians chapter 1. That word enlightened there, that's not a word you hear a lot. And when you do hear it, it often tends to have some bad connotations when you think about Buddhism and things like that. But I did a quick search on that, enlightened in the Bible. It's used only 6 times, 4 times in the Old Testament, 2 times in the New Testament. The word means illuminated, instructed. So when you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God illuminated your heart and mind. Before, it was dark. By the power of the Holy Spirit, He enlightened you. Again, notice the present tense of that in the verse. Paul's not asking for their eyes to be enlightened. He says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So the only way you can even know God is to have your mind and heart enlightened, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit. You're to grow deeper in your relationship with God, and that takes more enlightening from the person of the Holy Spirit. But I want to show you something that God uses in tandem with the Holy Spirit to give us further illumination and enlightenment in the knowledge of God. If you will, go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 14. I said that the word enlightenment is used four times in the Old Testament. Here in 1 Samuel chapter 14 is the first two times that word is used. And I thought this was very interesting. 1 Samuel chapter 14. Again, if we're going to grow in a deeper relationship, into a deeper knowledge of God, we have to have continuing enlightenment, which comes through the Holy Spirit and something else. And I want to show you this interesting comparison that we see here in 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 23. Once you get there, go ahead and just, for time's sake, go to Psalm 19 so we don't have to turn there after we read this. Psalm 19, and keep your finger there. So 1 Samuel 14, and then go ahead and put a finger in Psalm 19. First Samuel 14, verse 23. So the Lord saved Israel that day. The battle passed over unto Beth Aven. And the men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had adjured the people, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged on my enemies. So none of the people tasted any food. And all they of the land came to a wood, and there was honey upon the ground. And when the people were come into the wood, behold, the honey dropped. But no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with the oath. Wherefore he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand, and dipped it in an honeycomb, and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened. So we got a very similar phrase. This is the first time it's used in your Bible. Then answered one of the people and said, thy father straitly charged the people with an oath, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food this day, and the people were faint. Then said Jonathan, my father hath troubled the land. See, I pray you, how mine eyes have been enlightened, because I tasted a little of this honey. So all the men, very tired that day, they want to go eat some food. They've had a long day of battle, and the king says, nobody eats food until every one of my enemies is avenged. Oh, okay, thanks a lot. So no one's eating any food. Jonathan doesn't hear that. There's some honey, takes the honey, puts it in his mouth. And the Bible says his eyes were enlightened. If you've been working a long, hard day in the sun, I'm going to try to compare that to fighting all day. But if you've been working hard all day in the sun, when you get home, the eyes, you know, they're tired, they're dim. But maybe you get whatever drink you prefer. It's the coffee. I don't like coffee, so with me it'd be a Diet Mountain Dew. And you get that nice cold whatever and that nice hot whatever, and you drink that, it's like, ah. And the eyes lighten up just a little bit. That's what the honey was doing. He ate the honey, and the honey gave him light, and his eyes were enlightened. They were dim and tired from the day, and they brightened. They illuminated. That's the example here. Now, Psalm 19. First, that's the first time in your Bible the words enlighten is used. Same thing, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. In Ephesians 2, we have eyes being enlightened here, and it's with honey. Psalm 19, verse number 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. What's being talked about there? The Word of God. Go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Verse 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. The Bible is compared to honey. What did honey do for Jonathan? It enlightened his eyes. What will the Bible do for you? Enlighten your eyes. You know, the more you get into the Word of God, the more knowledge of God you will have. You know why people don't have a deeper knowledge of God? Again, what is the sword of the Spirit? The Spirit is one that illuminates and enlightens. But what is the sword of the Spirit? Now, again, we know that theologically. But again, ask yourself, how much time this week did you spend in the Word of God? If you want the eyes of your understanding to be enlightened even more, guess what you have to be in? The Word of God. If you want a deeper relationship, a deeper knowledge of Jesus Christ, you have to be in the Word of God. The Spirit uses the Word of God, and as the Spirit uses that Word of God in our heart and life, we can grow into a deeper knowledge of God. So we see that's the first thing here that Paul prayed for. And if you go back to Ephesians chapter 2, I would say that this is the foundation for the other things that we see in the rest of the requests that Paul has. If you're going to, let's just read it real quick, verse 18. If you're going to know what is the hope of his calling, if you're going to know what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and if you're going to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, guess what you need? The Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So in order for these other truths to make themselves come to fruition in your life, this first one has to be a priority. Lord, please give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Continue to enlighten my eyes. Use your word to give me that illumination so I can know you better. The second thing we see Paul prayed for here on behalf of these believers is in the second part of verse number 18. He prays this, and we'll have to dig into this too, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. So that's what he prayed for, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. So what's that about? In our modern culture, the word hope carries the idea of wishful thinking. I hope it doesn't get to 100 degrees again. But I don't know if it will or not. Despite what the weather forecasters say, they don't know whether it will or not. They can give a good guess at it. I hope. That's how we use the word hope today, though. You hear the kids as they grow up, you know, a young boy, I hope to be a police officer. It's wishful thinking. That's kind of how we use the term in our modern culture today. That is not how the Bible uses that word. Hope in the Bible isn't wishful thinking. It's confidence in something or confidence about something. It's not wondering if something will happen. It's confidently knowing that it will happen. See the difference? The 1828 Webster's Dictionary defines the word hope as confidence in a future event, the highest degree of well-founded expectation of good. So that's what Paul has in mind when he's speaking of hope here. He's not praying for these believers to have wishful thinking about something. He's praying that they would have a confident certainty about something. What did he want them to have a confident certainty about? Paul says, his calling. I want you to know what is the hope, the confident certainty of his, God's, calling. So that begs the next question. What is God's calling for us as believers? Go with me to 1 Thessalonians 2 and 2 Thessalonians 2. 1 Thessalonians 2 and 2 Thessalonians 2. Paul wants them to know what is the hope of his calling. He wants them to be confident, certain of God's calling in their life. Okay, well, what's God's calling for the believer? 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 12. Do keep your finger here. We're going to be back to this passage in just a second. Paul says that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you. So this is God's calling for you as believers, unto his kingdom and glory. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse number 14. Whereunto he called you, so if you're a believer, God called you. How did he call you? By the gospel. To what? What has God called you to? To the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what is God's calling for us as believers? God has called us as believers to one day be with him in his kingdom in glory, to one day receive the same glory as his son, Jesus Christ. And Paul says, I want you to know with confident certainty that the hope of his calling. I want you to know beyond a shadow of doubt and be very confident in what is awaiting you as believers. Now, why would Paul want that to be a priority on his prayer list? Why would the second thing on his prayer list for these believers to be to know what is the hope of his calling? To be very certain that one day they would be just like Jesus Christ, received into God's kingdom and glory. Why would he want them to really know that? 1 Thessalonians 2 again. I found this interesting. We're not going to look at the other scriptures. But notice what he says. That ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. That phrase, walk worthy, is used three times in the New Testament. Twice it's connected to our calling, 1 Thessalonians 2:12, Ephesians 4, verse 1. And once it's connected to our spiritual understanding and knowledge, Colossians 1, verse number 10. This is why I think Paul put this as a high priority on his prayer list. If we would understand what is the hope of his calling, if we would understand with confident certainty what is waiting for us as believers, that would translate into us walking worthy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, how many of us want our brothers and sisters to walk worthy of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? All of us, right? Well, then guess what you should be praying for? That your brothers and sisters in Christ would know what is the hope of his calling. Because if you understand what the hope of his calling is, I mean, you truly understand it, you will walk in a fashion that is worthy of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know why people live for the world? Because they forget what the hope of his calling is. They see all of this fun and pleasure and entertainment, and so they live for it. I don't live for that. You know why? Because I have something greater for me coming. So if I know with confident certainty that God has a blessed future for me, I get to be just like Jesus Christ, I get to be in God's kingdom, why would I live for the things of this world? But people don't think about, and they definitely don't know with confident certainty what is coming for them. And so guess what they live for? The here and the now. And so Paul put it high on his prayer list. I'm praying for you to know what is the hope of his calling. The more you understand, the more you're confident about what is waiting for you in the future, the more you will walk worthy of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So this is the first two things that we see here then in Ephesians chapter 2 that Paul is praying for. One, God, would you help me? And then would you help my brothers and sisters in Christ to grow in a deeper knowledge of you? And then God, would you help me And would you help my brothers and sisters in Christ to truly understand and know what is the hope of your calling for us, so that we can live in a worthy fashion for you. Great request here by the Apostle Paul for these believers. All right, any questions or thoughts about that as we close tonight?